I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel lesson. It is found in Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 5. During the rule of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. They were both righteous before God, blameless in their obedience to all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to become pregnant, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving as a priest before God because his priestly division was on duty. Following the custom of priestly service, he was chosen by the lottery to go into the Lord's sanctuary and burn incense. All the people who gathered to worship were praying outside during this hour of incense burning. An angel from the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and overcome with fear. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give birth to your son, and you must name him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many people will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the Lord's eyes. He must not drink wine and liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He will bring many Israelites back to the Lord their God. He will go forth before the Lord, equipped with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers back to their children, and he will turn the disobedient to the righteous patterns of thinking. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord." But Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? My wife and I are very old." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you good news. Know this, what I have spoken will come true at the proper time. But because you didn't believe, you will remain silent, unable to speak until the day when these things happen." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered why he was in the sanctuary for such a long time. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he gestured to them and couldn't speak. When he completed the days of his priestly service, he returned home. Afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She kept to herself for 5 months, saying, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me by removing my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, it was supposed to be a dream come true. But like so many dreams, when it finally became a reality, it was nothing as he had imagined. But then again, how could one very brief moment in time possibly measure up to something that, well, that had been a lifetime in the making? And it had been a very long lifetime at that. You know, the Gospel of Luke tells us nothing about Zechariah along with his wife Elizabeth, except for the fact that they were, quote, very old. Well, it tells us a little bit more than that. We're told that they both came from a priestly lineage. That meant that Zechariah grew up knowing that, well, he would become a priest. No questions asked. And because he grew up in a priestly family, he knew what was going to be expected of him. He knew all of the things that would happen. He would have understood the requirements, the responsibilities, the hardships, the joys, and yes, the dreams that accompany such a high calling. Now, those of you who are participating in the adult Sunday school class, you're studying the book, Rachel Bullop's book, The Unlikely Advent. And so you probably already learned this morning that Zechariah was in the temple fulfilling his priestly duties. All priests were required to go to the temple at least 2 years out of the year and spend it serving in the Lord's service there. And one of the things that happened periodically throughout the year was that someone, one of the priests, was chosen to go into the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, that place that was set apart where God actually dwelt. It was something that could only happen to a priest once in a lifetime. No one, absolutely no one, was ever allowed to enter the Holy of Holies a second time. So imagine how Zechariah felt when, after decades of waiting, of hoping, and of praying, the lot finally fell upon him. He was finally chosen as the one who would go in and perform the rituals. He would get to go and be in the Holy of Holies. But before he could go in, there were other rituals. He had to go through a purification ceremony so that the garments that were reserved for that very, very special moment could be put on his body. And in all honesty, it probably took him longer to get ready than the whole entire ritual when he went in, because it wasn't that long. But it was worth it, because for one brief moment, he would stand where God dwelled. And it was a dream come true. Or so he thought. For you see, Zechariah had no sooner entered the Holy of Holies and closed the door behind him than his dream began to turn into, a nightmare. You see, like many of us who come here Sunday after Sunday, the last thing he expected was to actually come face to face with God's own self. I mean, come on, be honest. When you entered the door of this church on Sunday morning, do you really expect an encounter with the Holy? Or is it just another thing we do? Yes, what Zechariah was doing was very holy, but it was a ritual. So put yourself in his shoes. What would you do if you came through the doors of the church and came face to face with God? Or maybe just an angel. What would you do? What would you do? What would you think if you actually heard a holy being telling you that out of all humankind, out of everyone who was alive in the world, you have been chosen by God for a specific purpose? Not only a specific purpose, but a specific purpose that was going to happen at a specific time. And in Zechariah's case, what he learned was that God's dream for him and Elizabeth was bigger than anything he could possibly have ever dreamed on his own. And yes, it was frightening. As a matter of fact, the scriptures we hear during Advent are filled with God-sized dreams that are frightening to those who hear them. Time and time again, we hear some angel telling someone in the story, "Don't be afraid. So why are they afraid? Because when one gets caught up in a God-sized dream, the future is changed forever. And it's never changed in a way that we would expect. And that, my friends, is frightening. I mean, think about it. Mary was simply dreaming about her upcoming marriage to Joseph when her encounter with the Holy, it turned her into the mother of God's only son. Zachariah and Elizabeth, well, they had given up on the hope of having a child. It wasn't going to happen. But then suddenly, an angel appears and they learn that they're not only going to have a child, but he's going to be the precursor to the Messiah himself. And as for the shepherds, well, they were like the entire nation of Israel. They had been dreaming about the coming of the Messiah for generations. But that night, when they heard the angels singing, when they discovered that the dream had not only become true, but that they would be the first witness, that they would be the ones to proclaim the news, the great good news to the entire world for the very first time. With the exception of Elizabeth, the Bible says that each one of them were afraid. Each one of them had to be told by the angel, "Don't worry, don't be afraid." Friends, could it be that that's why we're so reluctant to dream God-sized dreams? Is that they're frightening? They're life-changing. So is that why we keep ourselves so busy and preoccupied with other less important ideas and goals? Is because we don't want to hear it? Could it be that all the busyness, especially at this time of year, it's actually our attempt to keep God in arm's length, to keep from hearing what God has to say to us, to keep from realizing the dream that God has for each one of us sitting here, your own specific dream. But they're dreams that if we allow them to become part of our lives, to become part of our reality, they will force us to grow in a new way. We'll have to believe and be something totally different than we are now. In her book that I referenced just a few moments ago, the Reverend Rachel Billups discusses the importance of learning to dream forward, as she calls it. And to dream forward means that we take all the dreams from our past and our present, you know, the broken dreams, the ones that are in a million pieces at our feet, the ones that we never want to think of again. Maybe we need to take them, especially them, and use them as a foundation for something new. Something bigger than we could ever imagine on our own. And that something will transport us into a whole new way of seeing, believing, responding, and living. That's what happened to Zechariah that day when he entered the Holy of Holies. He thought his dream had finally been fulfilled. But all of that changed the moment he saw Gabriel standing in front of him. For you see, God knew there was still so much more that old priest could and would do. All he had to do was open his heart and his mind to a more spectacular dream. Zechariah almost missed it because he was afraid to believe. He refused to believe what seemed impossible to him. Not only to him, but to the rest of the world. Somebody his age just doesn't have a baby. But it became possible the moment God entered into his world. When God entered into the dream, the possibilities were endless. All Zechariah needed to do was trust God, take hold of the dream, and then step into the future unafraid. And the same holds true for you and for me. In the words of Reverend Billups, I quote, "We miss future dreams by holding on to the broken bits, by losing our imaginations, by refusing to have our minds changed. It's scary to dream forward like Zechariah and Elizabeth. I mean, what if something happens? What if life doesn't work out? Fear paralyzes us, robbing us of our potential, destroying new possibilities, and leaving us with old anxieties. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. We have not missed it. God is still at work, writing an unlikely story for you and for me." And what is that story? What dream does God have for you, for me, for this church? Beats me. I don't know. It's God's dream. But what I do know, it's bigger, it's better, it's brighter, and it's more hopeful than anything we could ever imagine on our own. And it will come true in the most unexpected ways at the most unexpected time. You know, I honestly think the only thing God loves more than dreams are the surprises that they bring. I mean, after all, who could have ever believed that the long-awaited Emmanuel, the God with us, would come as a baby with nothing more than a filthy manger for a bed? Who would have thought that the one who had dwelled in that locked-up room in the temple would finally make his entrance into the world, surrounded not by angels, but by animals and shepherds, and a poor peasant girl who was amazed by it all? Are you ready to dream? Are you ready to be surprised? Do you want to find out what dream God has for you and for your life? Well, Why don't we make our way to Bethlehem? Let's go see what's there when we arrive. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.